Today on The Journey.
Those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning. If the Lord had not cut short these days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, whom He has chosen, He has shortened them.
The calm before the great storm is nearing its end. When it's given way to the ill winds of the great tribulation, many will die. But as Ron Moore is about to explain, in the midst of these grim troubles, God's tough love will still be calling mankind to Himself. Perhaps there's a personal message here for you. Also, a bit later in the program, listen for details of Ron's inspiring booklet, What Will Heaven Be Like? It's a biblical tour of the believer's eternal home. What Will Heaven Be Like is available at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, God's Severe Mercy, On the Journey.
Sometimes it's easier to hear God's voice than others, isn't it? Well, there's coming a day when His voice will be heard and no one will question whose voice it is. There's coming a day when certain events will occur and no one will have to wonder, I wonder if that's from God or not. Those events are found in the book of Revelation as we continue our study. I ask you to take your Bibles and open them to chapter 8. And we're going to find four calamities that come, two demonic plagues that come, and then one proclamation that we would say is the best proclamation in all of time and eternity, but those on earth won't think it to be so. Chapter 8, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came, and he stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, hurled it to the earth, and there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Here we're introduced to seven angels who stand before the presence of God. Some people call these the angels of the presence because they are always in the presence of God. Another angel came and offered incense along with the prayers of the saints. And the saints mentioned here could be the people who have trusted in Christ who are still on this earth. Remember, we said that during the tribulation, much salvation is going to take place. A lot of people are going to say, this is true. This is it. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. Or it could be the prayers of the martyred saints, those who had refused to deny the name of Christ back in chapter 6. Look at verse 6. Seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. There is anticipation, maybe some anxiety, as these seven angels with the seven trumpets get ready to send forth some terrible calamities on the earth. Look at verse 7. First angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass or the vegetation was burned up. Now, can you even imagine that? A huge thunderstorm. The fire may well be the lightning that is flashing across the sky. The phrase mixed with blood may be the red color of this storm as it comes, or it may be the result of the hail and the fire, the bloodshed that will result. And this is no spring thunderstorm. One third of the earth, one third of the trees, one third of all the vegetation are destroyed. These judgments are going to impact and affect a large portion of the earth and a large portion of mankind, but not all the earth and not all mankind. So as devastating as these judgments are, they are not complete judgments. As destructive as they are, they are not complete destructions. They function as a warning to people in that time. I am coming back. Time is just about over. You don't have many days left. It's time to turn to God. This is God's severe mercy. It's His warning that you better turn. You better repent because the time is short. And whether it's that He comes back tomorrow or 1,000 years from now, we don't know that. But we know this, we're not going to be around 1,000 years from now, and we may not be around tomorrow. So the warning is this, my mercy is available, but time is short. Second trumpet is sounded. Look at verses 8 and 9. A mountain falls into the sea. John is seeing things he cannot even describe, things he has never seen before, things that have never occurred before. And so he can only describe them. They are like this or as this. The best I can do as he tries to describe for himself and his readers is that they're like something else. And this happens to be like a huge mountain, verse 8, all ablaze, thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures of the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Something like a huge mountain all ablaze, maybe a huge meteorite. But it hits the ocean and the sea turns into blood. At least a third of it does. And then a third of the ships are destroyed either by direct hits or the turbulence that that's caused. Now again, what's the purpose of this? Warning. It's getting short and it's time to repent. A third trumpet. Inland waters are affected. Look at verses 10 and 11. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the skies on the third of the rivers, on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. Fresh water supply is affected. And the text here is not so much worried about the water supply, but what it does to people. Many people died from the waters that had become bitter. Warning, judgment is coming. The fourth trumpet sounds. The sun and the moon are struck. Look at verse 12. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. So day and night is altered as something strikes the sun and the moon, and it turns dark. And you can imagine what that would do to temperature. You can imagine what that would do to just the psyche of people as they have lived their entire lives with this 24-hour day period, and boom, something happens. It's no longer like that. Now, sometimes we read the book of Revelation and we think this is where all the prophecy is, right? But we've been given this not only by John here, not only by the words of Christ as he gives it to John, but by the words of Christ himself. Listen to what Jesus says in Mark chapter 13. Those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning, when God created the world until now, never to be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short these days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, whom He has chosen, He has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or look, there He is, don't believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible. It's not possible, but if it were, they would even deceive the elect. So, what? Warning. Be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. The love of Christ, the mercy of God. I told you everything ahead of time. No surprises. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and heavenly bodies will be shaken. So Jesus says, when He's on earth, I'm warning you, no surprises. I'm going to tell you about these things ahead of time. Here He gives it in detail. Warning. Turn to God. Now, as bad as those first four judgments are, it's going to get worse. Now we're going to a different level. These things dealt with the physical nature around us. Now, God is going to allow Satan, and Satan has no power unless God gives it to him. God is going to allow Satan going to give him permission to do some dastardly work. So after this vision of the first four trumpets, John looks up and he sees this eagle flying in midair at the zenith, highest point, so that everyone can see. And the eagle cries out in a loud voice so everyone can hear. Look at verse 13. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels. First four bad, but woe, woe, woe for these three. Three woes. Why do you think an eagle flying in the air would give this warning? Well, I don't know for sure. But don't you think that an eagle crying out in a loud voice would probably get your attention? It's a warning. And yet some people don't take the warning. Some people just don't get it. The fifth trumpet sounds. Look at verse 1. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. I believe that this is speaking of Satan, the fallen angel, the one we read about in Ezekiel, a created being who had strong powers but wanted to be like God. But Satan is cast out of heaven, Scripture says. And now he roams the earth. Sometimes a star is an object, but here it's a person, because if you look at the second part, the star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. The abyss is a very deep, seemingly bottomless pit, and we're going to see it's the home of demons who have been kept there for this very time. Almost sounds like a movie, doesn't it? This happens. And when Satan opens the abyss, this dark pit, John said it was like the opening of a gigantic furnace. And so much smoke filled the air from the opening of the abyss that the sun and the sky were darkened again. Look at verse 3. Out of the smoke then came locusts down upon the earth, and they were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. Locusts is a sign of destruction throughout Scripture. They can be devastating, but these are no ordinary locusts. Look at their description in verse 7. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads there were something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like a woman's hair, and their teeth like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions in their tails, and they had power to torment people for 5 months. And they had a king over them, the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek is Apollyon. Both words, the Hebrew word and the Greek word, mean destroyer. He is the destroyer. He is Satan. The demons were told not to harm the grass, not to harm the plants, not to harm the trees, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their forehead. Remember, there are 144,000 that have been sealed. Other people are coming to know Christ. Much salvation is taking place during this time. They are protected. God's mercy. The demons are turned loose on the other people. Look at verse 5. They were not given power to kill them, but only to what? Only to torture them for 5 months. 5 months is a lifespan of the locust, or it's also the dry season from the spring to the summer. So for this 5 month period, they are given power to torture. And the agony they suffered was like the sting of a scorpion. I've never been stung by a scorpion, but I read that it is one of the most painful stings you can receive by an animal. Now listen to this in verse 6. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. Satan's power will be over man in such a way that they will desire to die, but they won't be able to. They will be in so much torture, physically and emotionally, that they want to say, death is better, but they won't be able to die. Look at verse 12. Remember the three woes of the eagle? The first woe now is past. Two other woes are yet to come. Look at verse 13. The sixth trumpet, devastating war. Six angels sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before the Lord. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year. God's perfect timing. He kept them ready for this specific day, month, year, hour. They were set free. They were released to kill a third of mankind. And the number of the mounted troops was 200 million. John says, I heard that specific number. Verse 17, when John describes the horses and their riders, I saw in my vision, they looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed. Now remember, a fourth of mankind has already been killed. Remember that? With the seals. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues, the fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of the mouth. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. Now, again, we don't know what this is. Some say this is John's best description of modern-day warfare. And if you thought about that, you could probably think of tanks, helicopters, shooting that comes from the tails of helicopters and planes. We don't know that, but it could have been that description. But the result is this. One-third of mankind is killed. Again, over half of the population. Now, you would think, wouldn't you, that with all that, people would get the picture. A warning. The end is near. Time to turn to God. They would finally submit to the one who they see with their own eyes has complete control and power and sovereignty over all. Look at verse 20. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. You can imagine what it's going to be like during that time. Chaos. But they don't repent. How can that happen? How can people go through this and not repent? How can they go through this and not seek God? How does it happen today? How can anyone see what Jesus Christ does when He transforms the life of a person and changes their lifestyle and their attitudes and their values, a miraculous transformation, and not get it? How can anyone live their life and see death taking place every day around them? And not say, I got to get ready for eternity. How can people do that? The answer to that question is the same answer for these people here who see these vivid sights. The issue is this. They want to be their own God. They have no room for the eternal God who loves them so much that He came to this earth and died on the cross for their sins. And yet they refuse to trust in Him. They want to be their own God. The seventh trumpet is this. God is in charge. And if you just flip over to chapter 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there was a loud voice in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. Now, He has not set up His throne yet on earth. Still some things have to happen. But the proclamation of the trumpet is this. God is in charge. He is on His throne, and He's going to reign forever and forever. We would say, amen, right? These people say in verse 18, the nations were angry. They are angry that they are not the gods after all of their own lives. Three things, very quickly in summary. People often ask the question, things are so bad, God, aren't you going to do something? Are you going to continue to let the wars and rumors of wars go throughout the earth? Things are so bad, don't you care about sin? Aren't you going to judge sin? The answer is yes. And we see it here. There will be a day when God's wrath comes down with fury on sin. In His mercy, He is holding back. But He hates sin, and He hates it so much that He sent His Son to die for us so that we could have an everlasting relationship with Him. His wrath came upon Christ. And so when you see Christ weeping and sweating drops of blood in the garden before the cross, we see the physical side and say, crucifixion, what a terrible thing, and it was. But Jesus Christ knew that He was going to take on the wrath of God for us. That's worse than death. He did it for you. He did it for me. One day, though, His wrath comes down. Secondly, this is going to happen one day. For those going through this time, again, we believe the church is gone during this time, but for those going through it, this is going to be a warning. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, these things are going to happen. You don't have time. In a sense, those going through the tribulation at least can say, it's getting short. The danger time is for us today. Because it's pretty good, isn't it? We have it nice and warm. We have everything we want. We travel wherever we want. This is the dangerous time. Because we can get sucked up to walking right down the middle road. You see, in that day, you're either going to be for Christ or against Him. No middle ground. But we can kind of walk the middle ground today. Do you know Christ or not? Last thing is, we live in urgent times. We need, as every generation before us and every generation that comes after us, if Christ tarries, we need to share the message of Christ. These things may not be set in motion tomorrow, but people are going to die, and they're going to die with Christ or without Christ. And we are the stewards of the message of Christ. And it is urgent that we share that message. No one deserves heaven. None of us. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and it's only through Jesus Christ. That is it. Do you know Jesus Christ? You're not deserving. I hate to offend you. I know you're a nice person, but you are not deserving of heaven. I'm not, you're not. That was bought with the blood of Christ. And the only way we stand before God is to have trusted in Christ as the one who paid for the wrath of God on sin. Have you done that? Have you trusted in Christ?
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. When you think of heaven, what comes to mind? Sitting on clouds, whiling away the endless hours, playing slow songs on golden harps? Well, there will be glorious music played on harps and other instruments, but there is so much more to experience in God's kingdom. Ron describes that infinite world in his booklet, What Will Heaven Be Like? There he takes us on a scriptural tour of our forever home. You'll witness joyful reunions and the spine-tingling beauty and vastness of heaven. You'll stroll past the 12 immense gates to the capital city, each guarded by a majestic angel. You'll discover that there's infinite work to enjoy performing and perfecting. You'll learn and create and become the person you've only started to be. If today's world has you worried and fearful, you'll be comforted by What Will Heaven Be Like? We'll send it to you for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018, 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
And now when we begin chapter 10, John is back on earth looking up. Look at verse 1. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. Not only is this a powerful, mighty angel, but this angel is surrounded by a cloud. There's a rainbow of multicolors over the angel's head. Angel's face is shining bright as the sun, legs like fiery pillars, and he stands over the earth with power. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And here's the demonstration that he has authority and power over the sea. He has authority and power over the land. And he's speaking with a commanding voice. He gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to order Ron's uplifting booklet, What Will Heaven Be Like? It'll take you on the celestial tour of your eternal lifetime. You'll find it at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. or you may call 724-731-2018, 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org, BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.